I now welcome our guest, James Bovard. James, welcome to the show. Thank you for being with us. You wrote a great piece that was published, and I got to discuss it on my show. It was published on the 6th for the New York Post, entitled Joe Biden's State of the Union Shrinkflation Swindle. And you warned us that Joe might not exactly be playing honest with statistics or the reason for the economic problems we're having. And of course, we'll be blaming businesses. We're just trying to cater to customers. Welcome to the David Knight Show, James. Thank you for being here. Thank you for that article and also your new book, which is phenomenal. I love it. I really appreciate all that you've done. Really, really good. Last rites. James Bovard, welcome to the show.
Hey, Gard. Thanks for having me back. Great to see you again. And it's good for both of us can take a victory lap for Biden's speech.
Yes. Tell us a little bit about what you saw. I was struck. In fact, I was bowled over, but not necessarily surprised, if those two can come together, the Beatles would say, because he opened with, well, America's national security is dependent upon Ukraine. That was the first thing in the State of the Union for the United States speech. That was just stunning. Then there were the other accoutrements about how quickly he was speaking. Maybe he thought that if he spoke more rapidly, people wouldn't notice his falsehoods. Tell us your impressions, Jim.
Well, it was like the old Disney movie, Old Yeller, because he's there just kind of flapping away. And it was surprising to see that the entire White House in his reelection campaign has decided to go on a message of hatred. He was exaggerating so much the faults of people who did not support him. It reminded me of his speech in near Valley Forge, where he openly compared Donald Trump to Adolf Hitler, which reminded me of his Philadelphia speech in September 2022, where it was practically like a Nuremberg rally with the bright red background. But there was a level of vitriol. Historian Henry Adams, 100 years ago, said, "Politics has always been about the systematic organization of hatreds."
That's
the line to understand Biden's speech and his entire message. And I mean, this is certainly not Donald Trump is not innocent on this score as well. Trump has hit the vitriol so hard, but yeah, it's funny that you've got Biden claiming that the upcoming election will show the will of the people, but you've got two major candidates who are just doing so much demonizing and so many falsehoods. But Biden was there as he's supposed to be the State of the Union, and instead it's the absolute evil of everyone who doesn't bow down to Joe Biden.
You know, James, as I show off your excellent X feed, it's @JimBovard, and you have all the books out there, Last Rites, Most Prominent. I want to show that on the screen to everybody. Just phenomenal
Thanks.
Stuff, Jim. Oh, absolutely. What a great book. And I love the fact that, the look of it is so similar to Lost Rites. When did Lost Rites come out? Like 10 years ago?
10 years ago. Put a knife in my heart. No, it was 30 years ago.
Holy smoke.
It was 30 years ago. And it was, that was back in the golden age of liberty. So I had some fun with the New York Post last weekend. On Saturday, I had a piece talking about Merle Haggard and a song that he did is "A Free Life Over." Is the best of "The Free Life Behind Us," and it's interesting to think when he's saying that is like, hey, things are going to get a hell of a lot worse after that song came out.
Oh yeah, it's always strange. You think to yourself, "Oh, it couldn't get any worse," and it just gets crazier because, of course, it's the nature of people involved with the state to try to find more areas where they can get the state involved in people's lives. It gives them power. And you mentioned, that use of the lever of hatred. Do you think it would be fair, Jim, to say that they also lever fear, and they're sort of stranded together in a Gordian knot in a way. They will portray the Russia-Ukraine conflict, and they'll gin up fear. Well, the United States, we've got to defend. We've got to do this. We've got to do that. And it, in a way, it helps generate hatred against the thing that which we're supposed to fear.
Yeah, well, Biden last night was saying that it's perfectly clear that if Russia is not stopped in Ukraine, then they'll go further and attack other nations. And it's like, well, do you have any evidence, sir?
Right.
And I, you know, the you know, the sad thing is about the only evidence, the only source of evidence that we had on government information, accurate government information on Ukraine, just pled guilty and going to prison for 16 years. That gentleman from the Massachusetts National Guard, airman,
yes,
who was,
yeah.
And he
shared that information on his Discord.
Yeah, and it's striking to see that the media that has basically, you know, the information which he disclosed, the official documents show that the U.S. most of the U.S. media has been shoveling official BS on Ukraine for the last 2 years, ever since the start of the war. And
so
yet
right.
There wasn't that much media rage at having been lied to and deceived. Instead, a lot of the media folks jumped on and say, well, that son of a gun violated government rules by disclosing this information. Yeah, fine, throw him in prison and throw away the key. It's sad. I mean, there was, you know, it's sad to see how far the nation has fallen since Daniel Ellsberg and the Pentagon Papers 50 years ago.
It's one, you know, Jim, obviously, you know, I've admired your work so long, but the way that you with such fluidity can mention these people, because they really deserve to be brought in as we remember them and maybe gain some sustenance and energy from some of the things that they did that we admire, you know, and Ellsberg, 100%. And I'll bring up, as you discuss this Air National Guardsman from Massachusetts. I mean, he lived like, you know, 45 minutes, an hour away from where I am in New Hampshire. It was all the news in Boston, obviously. The New York Times somehow found out about it, released that information. And what is interesting is you're absolutely right. First, you have written on this numerous times. There's such a glut of stuff that the government produces that is so-called classified during a time of no declared war in any way whatsoever. And even when people issue FOIA requests, much of the stuff is redacted, whether it's, you know, FOIA requests to get information about the mRNA jabs or it's FOIA requests about anything else. The government is still in control of what they're going to tell you. And one of the things that you just brought up to me, I would like to show this to you. You can listen to the audio, Jim. Marco Rubio literally admitting on Fox News Sunday that all along he knew. He knew all along that Ukraine was not going to be successful in its quixotic quest to battle Russia after, of course, 9 years of slaughter in the Donbass with the, you know, Nazi Azov battalion related people that the United States seemed to have no problem with in any way whatsoever. After Amy Klobuchar and others and Lindsey Graham met with Tiani Bach of the Sloboda Party, the Nazi party there, and they helped cobble together that government under Yatsenyuk in 2014. This is Marco Rubio actually openly admitting what that young man exposed, but of course not acknowledging like, well, yeah, you know, yeah, we should have told you from the start. And we should remember, as we hear this, he voted every time there was the major final vote for more weapons and money to go to Ukraine, even though now he's admitting, well, you know, I knew all along that there was no possibility they could win. Let's check this out.
Sure to do that. Here's what I do know. There is no way that the Russian Federation takes Ukraine, all of Ukraine, half of Ukraine. And that was Putin's goal from the beginning, was to carve it up into half, at least half the country, including Kyiv. That's not going to happen. On the other side of it, the reality of it is that Ukraine is small compared to Russia in terms of size and its ability to bring scale, its ability to force conscript people. So neither kind. This is, I'm just being honest. And you know, in the past, I have tried not to talk about this publicly because I thought it undermined the leverage that Ukraine had. But now it's the reality. Neither side is going to be able to achieve victory as defined in the most idealistic term.
All right. So, Jim, you know, It's really amazing how many tens of thousands of people in Ukraine have had their homes destroyed, men and women now been pulled into that meat grinder. And now Joe Biden wants even more money to go to Ukraine, and he's going to find a way to use the so-called drawdown authority to pull more from the U.S. military banks and send it over to Ukraine, even after we just found out, as antiwar.com reported, and I'll show this to the audience, antiwar.com reported that there were 100 arms deals that were secretly done between the Biden administration and Israel after October 7th. They are reckless. They have no compunction whatsoever. They will lie to us. They will lie through omission, as Marco Rubio did for months and years, actually, with Ukraine. And they don't care.
Well, it was interesting seeing that clip from Marco Rubio. And he was the senator admitted that he made a lot of misleading statements. But it was okay, because otherwise he was being careful not to undermine the leverage of a foreign government. Now, I don't recall the oath of office of a U.S. senator saying that they're also that they have a legal moral obligation to maintain the leverage of foreign governments. But that was what he was saying. That's somebody backing up outside the office. I'm thinking like, the hell is this? Anyhow,
yeah.
Uh-oh, my computer is dying. But no, so going back to Rubio, I mean, it's good he's honest about his previous deceit. Do we trust him going forward? Yeah, I don't think so. I'm not sure. No, I won't make that crude joke.
And it's only veracity. It's only honesty based on its situational ethics. It's pure situational ethics. For him, it doesn't matter. It's a consequentialist philosophy. There's no morality to it in any way whatsoever. Truth doesn't matter. It's whatever is convenient to get by with what you want at the time.
And part of what I was wondering, watching the scene there in the Capitol last night, before and after Biden's speech, seeing all these folks, men and women out there glad handing each other, and seeing a lot of those older, well-fed women wearing their white dresses. I was thinking, look, so Senator, I don't recall seeing Senator Menendez there. I assume he was there. He's been indicted for taking a lot of bribes from foreign lobbyists, activists.
But at least he appreciates the value of gold versus the U.S. monetary system.
That's a good point. Yeah, there's gold bars. And so I was wondering there. I said, how many of the people in that room, how many of them deserve to be indicted on the same kind of federal charges that the Biden Justice Department and earlier Justice Departments used against American citizens? Because there are so many, you know, the members of Congress are practically exempt from federal law. I mean, a person has to be so brazen, a person has to be so damn greedy and stupid that they have gold bars and hundreds of thousands of dollars of cash laying around their house, as the allegations are against Senator Menendez, because otherwise it's going to be like, it's important, whatever. But to see what the politicians as a class get away with, at the same time the government is persecuting private citizens for, I mean, don't give me this rule of law BS.
Yeah. Yeah. So true. So true. And you know how I'm a voluntarist anarchist, obviously, James. And one of the things, what's that?
I was making a joke. I said, you are a moderate.
I'm a moderate.
Okay. Maybe you're not a moderate. Okay. I'm a moderate compared to you. How about that?
That sounds great. And it is interesting, because, you know, that we often hear this, are we, which is, of course, the pronoun of forced inclusion. Are we going to do this? Are we going to do this? We have to do this. We must do this. America cares, and so on and so forth. When the government institutes policies of forced inclusion, forcing people to pay for something, the we is a pronoun of aggressive inclusion. You have no choice. You're going to be included no matter what. You are part of the we, whether you want to be part of it or not. And
it's the will of the people. Yeah.
Yeah. This State of the Union on a macro level exposes the absolute canard of the idea that there's any rule of anything for these people. Because if I don't want to be part of their union, can I say no? Of course not. They'll throw me in jail. I've got to keep paying, or I've got to flee to some other place. I didn't see that I signed up for that. I never signed the Constitution. And even if I had signed the Constitution, these people are breaching it all the time. They're the ones who you know, they they sign up to swear an oath to it and put their hands on the Bible, right? And so we look at things like all their ridiculous controls on light bulbs and their attempts to control ceiling fans and eliminate the internal combustion engine car and all these different things that they add and add and add. Of course, because they make us fear what could be coming. They don't provide real evidence regarding the climate change, anthropogenic climate change boogeyman, or whatever it might be regarding, car outputs from internal combustion engines. Got to do it for us. Then they have the audacity to say they're saving us money. Of course, in the free market, we have to decide when do we want to save money, how do we want to do it, and in what process. We have trade-offs. They don't allow that. So this inclusive we thing is perfect, and it just shows the lie, because it's if it were a real union, I would have a choice, just like the South would have had a choice, to be able to separate and say, no, thank you. I can't perpetuate my union with somebody else. So how is it I get roped into all this stuff? I never said yes.
Well, it's just good you're not bitter.
That's classic. Hey, by the way, Jim, let's talk about the economy for a minute and the shrinkflation claims of Joe Biden, right? So your piece that was published on the 6th, I have the New York Post version of this. Joe Biden's State of the Union shrinkflation swindle. And you bring up an excellent point, which is, of course, that since Biden took office, the purchasing power of the U.S. dollar has shrunk by 18%. And Biden keeps. Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
This is 18% according to the federal government. I mean, if the U.S. government was still using the same measures of inflation that were used in the 1970s, I guess it'd be what, 25%, 28% decrease. It's a whole lot worse than what they admit.
Yeah. And of course, part of the reason is because they exclude certain things from their cost of living indexes. And they also, you know, they do this all the time with things like the employment numbers. You know, they'll exclude.
Oh, my God. Yeah. They had a hell of an adjustment this morning on that.
Yeah. Oh, tell us about January. That.
Well, actually, you know, my goodness.
They always do that. And we knew that, you know, after about the first week, heading into the second week, we start to get the inflation numbers and the employment numbers. And at first, they always put out their rosy employment numbers and then they adjust them. And they'll put out, like Biden will claim, well, unemployment or inflation has gone down. So they're implying that prices are going down. But for example, there was a couple month period, not an entire period, but for a couple months last year, there was a slight change from, say, 3.5% inflation down to 3.25% inflation month on month. And then it went back up to 3.5, that sort of thing. So they claim that, well, inflation is going down, but year on year inflation, that means it's gone up. Inflation has the prices of things have gone up. And of course, the inflation is really the inflation of the money supply, the debasement of the money supply. And, even under Donald Trump, people are aware if you've got the government spending trillions of dollars in the CARES Act, that's money that's being invented out of nowhere. No wonder Bitcoin is doing so well. No wonder gold is on the rise. No wonder silver is on the rise, because those things, you can't just invent them out of thin air.
Yep. I mean, there are so many different wrenches the government has thrown into the nation's economic engine. But part of what struck me, Biden was doing his fingerprinting on the shrinkflation, on the decreased number of chips in a snack bag of snack food. But Biden has given himself an absolute waiver for all the damage he's inflicted. It's the same as what the feds did for Pfizer and their COVID vaccines. An absolute waiver of liability for any damage. I mean, everything that Biden has done that screwed up the nation's productivity, investment, savings, value of the dollar, it doesn't matter, because Biden is taking a brave stand against decreasing the number of potato chips in a snack bag.
You had a video. I'm going to show this on the screen. You had a video, and they showed the snack bag. You can sort of see it in the background on the screen there. It really is amazing, too, because they are always ready with the bad guy, as I mentioned, the boogeyman.
Yep.
And it's truly a sad thing to think that politicians come up with these things, and so often people just accept the idea of, well, there can be calls for, say, antitrust hearings on Chuck Schumer doesn't like the number of cereal boxes that are on the shelves, or Bernie Sanders doesn't understand why there's more than only a couple brands of antiperspirant or deodorant. You know, I don't know whether he wore that when he was in Moscow celebrating the great economic wonders of Russia just before the collapse.
Well, that and his face mask last night.
Oh, unbelievable. I'm curious about. Oh, sorry, Jim. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I was going to say thanks for pulling up the screen on the shot there. The folks at New York Post made a video yesterday. They had me doing a spiel for the article, and it's the first time I've been on the New York Post YouTube video channel, and they were
really?
Very, very good at that.
It was great. Way they did inserts and Cookie Monster and so on. It was terrific.
It was fun. It was fun. It was very deft on their part, and they dropped some of the things I said and kept others, and they had the funny thing about the Seinfeld shrinkage thing there at the start, which I suggested.
With George Costanza?
It's shrinkage. It's shrinkage. And it's like, but the real trouble with Biden is the purchasing power of the dollars that I have shrunk 18%. So, but
yes.
I don't give a rat's patootie about potato chips, but hey, and I'm an independent contractor. I mean, there is a number of places that I write for that have not adjusted their pay scales. I don't forget it, but it's not like I'm a government worker that I snap my finger and say, give me my cola. Okay. There was 9% inflation in 2022, whatever. So give me that 9% raise. I'm an independent contractor. I don't have that leverage.
Yeah, and it's very frustrating because, I think you probably echo many of the conversations people have had with their friends and family members saying, look, my capacity to expand my earnings can only expand a certain amount as I try to work harder, do more, take on a second job or something like that. But my costs are going up, so we've got to cut back. We've got to do this. We've got to do that. Yeah, and it's really sad because, of course, there's so many rich experiences people could have or visits people could have with each other or just some of the more essential fundamentals of, we're going to have to grandma's going to, have to go to a different facility. We can't afford this facility over this facility this medicine. And it's a real shame. Oh, we can't get the medicine for the dog this time. We're going to have to do a fundraiser because we're out of money. Oh, I don't have a job, that sort of thing. And the prices are just out of control. And I don't see that these people have anything other than a thirst for more control of our lives rather than freeing up the competitive market. And
there was a great example. The back when inflation was at its peak, the Washington Post had a columnist that they ran a piece by, and she was kind of poo-pooing concerns about inflation. And she was talking about things that people could do to save money. I mean, such as stop eating meat. And she also talked about the cost of pet care. And it's kind of like, well, people can save money by just letting their pets die.
Oh,
it's kind of like, this is a great idea. This is, this is something Biden should pick up in a speech. Your dog has lived long enough,
Man. Well, Jim, it is very interesting because for a long time, as they pushed for the Obamacare thing, we always heard them attacking insurance companies and saying, well, you're cherry picking people. But we know that in any centrally planned government run collectivist resource, collectivized resource system, they are going to pick and choose who gets the resources. And we're all going to be fighting over these things. It is the tragedy of the commons. Everybody's going to want their piece that they can try to get the opportunity to get it. Great example.
That's an interesting, that was what struck me as the theme of Biden's speech, unspoken, but it's that people like him decide that people like Biden deserve to be in charge of who gets what.
Yes,
and
yes.
It was the child tax. Yeah.
It was like listening to the Supreme Soviet.
To a degree. I mean, or a six-hour Castro speech. But there was this, it kept coming back that Biden should be the one who has the power to say who gets the subsidized food, gets their loans forgiven, gets this, gets that, is allowed to have that, to go there. And it seems, as it was amusing that Biden was, towards the end of the speech, he tried to portray himself as a champion of freedom, but the only freedom that Biden recognizes is the freedom to terminate pregnancies.
Ah, so sad. And of course, take my neighbor's money to help fund it.
There you go.
It's truly troubling. So what's next on your radar scope, James Bovard?
I guess I'll probably keep working my ass off and throwing rocks at the government. So, you know, just wheeling and dealing. And, you know, I've got some stories I'm working on. And, you know, there were several fresh targets that popped up from the Biden spiel last night. So, you know, I'm just looking forward to try to keep having some fun.
Well, it's great. I've got the Jim Bovard website right in front of us. Your new book,
Thanks
Last Rights. Absolutely. The Death of American Liberty. And it's just excellent stuff. And of course, if people go over there, you always have your latest columns listed. And I highly recommend people watch that video that they put together from the New York Post. It is fantastic. And you are terrific on the screen, Jim. And it's so great to be able to see you talking like that, because I miss you so much. You're such a good guy. And it's in fact, they're having another Liberty Forum here in New Hampshire coming up this coming week. Tulsi Gabbard's going to be there. Glenn Jacobs is going to be there. Yeah. So I'm hoping to get on over there in Nashua, New Hampshire. And I wish you were there, man. That was great. Was that the year that Naomi Wolf was there as well?
That was the year. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
That was in 2014.
Yeah, she was nice. She wasn't as open to the larger scope of liberty at that time, but she's really expanded a lot recently, especially, you know, speaking about the jabs and the corruption there. And it's been nice to see people really standing up against a lot of the people who would try to connect them still to their old collectivist ways. And of course, you've always been an outstanding guy. And thank you so much. I hope people will check out that video at New York Post, and we'll watch you as you continue to throw the bricks. Okay, Jim?
Hey, thanks so much for having me on. Thanks for your kind words.
Oh, not a problem. And you just remember, we're all in this together, whether you want to be or not. Wink, wink. Have
all right,
fun.
Thanks.
All right, James Bovard. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate you being here. Great, great stuff from James Bovard.
The David Knight Show is a critical thinking super spreader. If you've been exposed to logic by listening to the David Knight Show, please do your part and try not to spread it. Financial support or simply telling others about the show causes this dangerous information to spread farther. People have to trust me. I mean, trust the science. Wear your mask. Take your vaccine. Don't ask questions.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.